Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, a recent study found that right around 50% of men are actually somewhat unsatisfied with their physical appearance. Happy Father's Day, by the way, to everyone out there. In this same study, they went on to ask, well, if you're so unsatisfied with your appearance, what are some changes you would like to see happen? And almost all the men in the study said something along the lines of this. Well, I could stand to lose a few pounds of fat, maybe gain a couple pounds of muscle. That's the changes I would like to see. An entirely different study asked men, if you could just snap your fingers and have the physical appearance, the body type that you would want, what body type would you like to have? In that study, almost all the men described something along the lines of a Marvel superhero. In fact, you could tell how old the respondent was in question by which action hero they described. The older guys said, I would love to look like Rocky or maybe Rambo. The younger guys said, maybe I'd like to look like Thor, even like the Incredible Hulk, minus that green skin, of course. Of course, when push came to shove, what became obvious very quickly is although they wanted to look like these guys, very few of them were willing to make the changes necessary that they would have to make. They were told the steps they would have to take to look like these guys, and most of them said, no way. They were told, if you want to pack on that kind of muscle, you'd have to eat upwards of 4,000 calories each and every day. Actually, most of the guys in the study were willing to do that part. They were then told you would need to work out 3 to 4 hours a day lifting some of the heaviest objects you could imagine, and most were unwilling to do that. Sure, some were willing to make small changes to resemble those they wanted to resemble. There were guys that were certainly willing to go to their barber with a picture of Chris Evans in Captain America and say, make me look like him. But look at him, St. John's family. It's going to take more than taking a little off the top for most of us to look like that. In fact, most people will have to live radically differently if they want to look like that at all. Today, we're entering week 2 of our sermon series titled Made for Community, God's Plan for Us. And in this series, we're talking about what God-pleasing interactions with one another would look like based on the one another passages. And our passage in question today is Philippians 2:5, which says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In other words, ideally, who should we want to look like when it comes to our interactions with one another? We should want to look like Jesus. But the truth is, most people here are going to have to live radically differently if they want to look like Jesus at all. It's not going to be just small changes that we're making. We're going to have to do things like live out Philippians 2, 3, and 4, which says if you want to look like Jesus, you must do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Evaluate those verses for a couple of seconds here. How are you doing with them? Do you do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit? Is it always about others and their interests and neither about you? Probably not. In fact, most of us probably aren't doing well on those verses at all. Most of us are probably in need of what I might call a Copernican revolution. If you're perhaps a history buff or a science whiz, you already know who Copernicus is. He was an astronomer who lived a long time ago, and he was one of the first to theorize that the Earth wasn't geographically at the center of the solar system, and that perhaps it was the sun. In other words, he was one of the first to suggest that the universe doesn't revolve around us. And based on the way that most people live, they don't seem to take old Copernicus here too seriously, because most people 100% act like the universe 100% revolves around them. We are self-absorbed and selfish. And there is plenty of data actually to back that up. How about this? A study found that the average American spends right around 9 minutes a day, that totals to 54 hours a year, taking pictures of, you guessed it, themselves. The selfie, We spend an average of 2.25 days looking into the camera and taking pictures of our own faces. Self-absorbed. And if that study shows that we're self-absorbed, this one certainly shows the selfishness. In this study, 6,531 participants were given a choice. They could choose to receive $5, and if they did, $5 would also go to the charity of their choice. Or they could choose behind door number two. Door number two, they could choose to get $6 and have just $1 go to the charity of their choice. Door one, right? It's pretty obvious. 50-50. 50% of people actually chose to get that whole extra dollar for themselves in this study, spurning $4 for charity. How about one more? In this study, a researcher set up at a park, and he had a little sign that said, free chocolate. And he had this big chocolate bar, and he divided it into two pieces, one big piece and one small piece. And when people came up, he said, you can choose one piece for yourself, and a stranger is going to get the other piece. You're never going to guess which piece the majority of people chose. The big one. And I believe I picked on the gentleman a little bit earlier today. I'm equal opportunity up here. Let's pick on the women for just a second. This study found that women were actually 23% more likely than men to pick the bigger piece. The point being, we are all self-absorbed and selfish. And guess what? When we are selfish, we certainly don't look like Jesus at all. In fact, we look like his opposite, someone who's described in our Old Testament lesson today in Isaiah 14. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That morning star who was cast out of heaven and down to the earth, that would be Satan. And the reason that he was cast out of heaven is because it was all about him. He elevated what he wanted even above what God wanted. He was definitely the apple of his own eye here. How many times is the word I in that last verse here? I will ascend. I will raise. I will sit enthroned. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. When it comes to Satan, it's me, 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 me. And as I said, that's why he was cast out of heaven. He put his interest above every, even God's. He thought what he wanted was far more important than even what God wanted. And you want a hard truth here, and it's actually my very important point of the day. You never look more like Satan than when you are selfish. If you want to be self-absorbed and selfish, you will look like Satan, mission accomplished. On the flip side, you never look more like Jesus than when you put others before yourself. Satan is the epitome of selfishness, and Jesus is the epitome of selflessness. When Satan walks into a room, he says, here I am. When Jesus walks into a room, he says, there you are. And he lived that out over and over again. We see it throughout our epistle lesson, actually, in Philippians 2. Listen to the rest of it. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Some pretty profound verses right there. Jesus, being in very nature God. He didn't have to work to become God. He is God. King of kings. Lord of lords, God Almighty, God of the universe, and if anyone ever had a reason to make it all about them, it was Jesus. After all, God does deserve all the glory. But that's not what he did at all. Instead, he made it all about others. He made it all about you. He made it all about me. He gives up the splendors and wonders of heaven, takes on human flesh. Think about how selfless you'd have to be to do something like that, by the way, considering what heaven is like and what right here is like. And then he spends his entire earthly life making it all about others. Healing others. Feeding others. Loving others. Serving others. Washing the feet of others. An ultimate act of humility. And then after all of that, he does the ultimate act of altruism and selflessness. He takes his perfect self to the cross. The only one who never sinned. The only one who was never selfish. The only one who never made it all about him. The only one who didn't deserve it. He goes to the cross and he dies on it for each and every selfish act we will commit or have committed. Each and every sin we will commit or have already done. And in doing so, he pays the price for our selfishness. He pays the price for our sin. He removes the separation that was between us and God. And now we get to have an eternal relationship with him. And in doing all this, he lived out our gospel lesson today, didn't he? His own words from Mark 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Selfless. Today is not just Father's Day, as you heard from up here and in the hymns. It is also Trinity Sunday, a day where we celebrate our triune God. And each and every aspect of our triune God is extremely, incredibly selfless, not just God the Son. God the Father, incredibly selfless. We don't have to get past a verse like John 3:16 to see that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, have eternal life. How selfless must he be, and how much must he love you to do something like that? And by the way, according to Romans 8:11, the spirit of him who raised that Son, Jesus, from the dead, he dwells in you. If you believe and have been baptized, I promise you, you have the Holy Spirit, which means God has quite literally given himself all to you. He resides in you. He leads you. He guides you. He makes you capable of following Jesus' incredible example of selflessness. It's quite an example that he sets. And by the way, Jesus explicitly says he wants you to follow his example. Listen to the words he says right after he gets done washing his disciples' feet. He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do that. So, why should we listen to Jesus here? Why should we care about following Jesus' example? Well, the first reason is pretty straightforward. You should care because he told you you should. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. This is the proper response to what Jesus has done for you. It's love's proper response to love. It's obeying him in big and small ways. Beyond that, you should care about following Jesus' example. And maybe this second one speaks a little better to our selfish nature, because great blessings will follow when we do. He said it. He said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And these are general and specific blessings. God does not just give us arbitrary commands. Anything he tells you to do, it's for your own good. We see that in verses like Deuteronomy 10:13, which says, observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Imagine with me a world where everyone follows Jesus' example. A world where everyone elevates others above themselves. James 4 says that would bring about an incredible blessing. It'd be the end of quarreling and fighting. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. When you look at basically any fight or quarrel we have, it's because someone was elevating themselves above everyone else. When we all stop doing that, peace is what's going to ensue. And as I said, it's not just a general blessing that happens here. You also specifically are blessed when you follow Jesus' example. Listen to this. A study conducted by a group of psychologists found that one of the best treatments for depression, it was simply this. To leave your house and go and find someone who needs help and help them. When you take the focus off of yourself and elevate others over yourself, it blesses you with some kind of peace. And we see this over and over again. Now, as we get to the end of the message here, I want to get practical for just a minute. I'm going to suggest a couple of things here, and I hope you do these two things. I know a lot of times we do stuff like this and you guys nod along nicely. I hope you actually go out and do these two steps. And if you do, I think it will help you have the mindset of Christ with one another. The first thing I want you to do is take account of how you are currently living. Look at your last few days. Look at the last week, if you can remember it, and ask yourself, who is the primary focus of that time? Is it me or is it others? And for just about everybody here, myself included, if you reflect like that, it will be convicting. You're going to see that you have really been putting the focus on yourself. And having been convicted, then go to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I have made it all about me and not about serving you and not about putting others before myself. And having done that, he will forgive you. You'll get a fresh start, a new day. And as that new day begins, start off each and every day by saying, Lord, I'm yours and you want me to follow your example. What can I do today to put others before myself? How can I be more like you? And then listen and do those things that he leads you to do. Maybe you'll be led to be selfless in a big way. Just maybe you'll be led to go on some kind of mission trip or sign up for some kind of service project or group here at St. John's. Maybe you'll be led to be selfless in a simple way. Something like calling up a friend who you know needs someone to talk to, even though you've got a busy schedule. Maybe it'll be as simple as letting someone into traffic, even though you're running late for work. And as you continue to ask that question, as you continue to ask God, how can I be more like you and then do those things, guess who you're going to look like? You're going to look a whole lot more like Jesus, the one who loves you, the one who forgives you, the one who dies for you, the one who puts us all selfish people first each and every time. May we all look more like Jesus in our interactions with one another, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.